Hey y'all, it's Stephanie from Root to Seed. It seems like it's been a while since I've shared something useful with you. It's been a crazy season, weather-wise. So there's been a lot of keep-up, especially with controlling weeds this year. So today, we're going to talk about eating those weeds. The gardens here are growing well. We've been harvesting a lot of peas, beans, radishes, beets, arugula, Japanese eggplant, and berries. All of the animals are faring the warm and wet weather as best as they can. The hens are given frozen cups of applesauce when it's too hot, and they very much like that treat. Last week we jarred our strawberry thyme jam, and that's available for sale already. And just today we jarred blueberry basil and raspberry dill jams that will be in the shop very soon. So today I want to talk to you about weeds, specifically edible weeds, and my change of heart as it pertains to this. We'll talk about three very common weeds in the Northeast: dandelion, purslane, and violet. I would like to state that I am not a doctor or a nutritionist, and everything I will tell you today is not to offer medical advice, so use this information at your own risk and do not eat any plants you cannot 100% identify. So, if we go back about 10 years, when my lawn was perfectly manicured, in part because I handpicked out the dandelions, ensuring to get the mile-long roots, and happily threw them into the weed pile. They were my nemesis, after all. Not too long after that, I learned of all the benefits of eating the leaves of dandelions, and noticed the leaves were being sold in my supermarket, and I thought, heck, if I sold all my dandelions, I'd be rich. And to be honest, this is kind of where my homesteading mind really took off. I have also been a believer that the earth provides you with all you need, and sometimes you just have to search for it. And sometimes it's right there, right under your nose. So I still don't leave the dandelions in my lawn anymore, but I do, after they are well washed, incorporate them into my meals. I must say, the dandelions in my yard grow to be enormous, so there's plenty to forage for, assuming that it's not in any of the areas the dogs have been in. The botanical name for dandelion is Taxicum officinal, and it's a member of the daisy family. In its name, we get a glimpse of this plant's importance. Officinal essentially means used in medicine. Plants bearing this designation could be found in ancient pharmacies. When colonists traveled from Europe to the Americas, they brought cattle, a bunch of diseases, and medicinal plants, including dandelion. Dandelions are really healthy. Its leaves are rich in minerals like magnesium, copper, folate, calcium, potassium, manganese, and iron. It's packed with vitamin A, E, K, B6, B2, B1, and C. The leaves are bitter, and the intensity increases over the summer. But what's interesting is if you start eating the dandelions in spring, you'll actually become more tolerant to the bitterness as the summer progresses. And bitter flavors in general are great for digestion and curbing sugar cravings. So eating more dandelion can be as simple as sprinkling a handful of chopped leaves into your next salad. It will get your digestive system pumping and primed for a summer diet of mostly raw vegetables, hot dogs, and ice cream. And as I said earlier, its roots are deep. And because of that, they are skilled at grabbing onto pulling up minerals. So I find a powder of the roasted roots most helpful in the morning or as a mid-afternoon pick-me-up when you're starting to feel a little tired. I like to mix a teaspoon with 8 ounces of warm hemp milk and a spoonful of honey. It tempers my cravings for caffeine and gently encourages my systems to get working. Its sunny flowers contain wonderful remedies for the blues. And speaking of blues, bummer to bring up winter just as summer finally arrives, but if we prepare now, our chances of enjoying January through March will be much greater. So if you pick some yellow dandelion tops, remove the green sepal holding the flowers together, cover them with honey in a jar, label them, and cap them until winter solstice, and enjoy for a little summertime flower pick-me-up once the snow starts falling. Despite thousands of Americans armed with weed whackers, herbicide, and lawnmowers, dandelions are thriving. It survives being stepped on, peed on, and paved over. Call it earthy, crunchy nonsense if you like, but I believe the determination of the dandelion translates to our bodies once it's inside. I'll return in a few seconds to discuss purslane. So I had settled in with the dandelion. I had wrapped around my head that I'm eating a weed, and it's okay. I found uses for all its parts, and I didn't look back. But when purslane started taking over one of my gardens, I really didn't find it at all that appetizing looking. It kind of looks like a jade plant that stretched itself out, and when I picked up a leaf and dared to bite it, I don't know. At first, I really didn't find it all that great. But I'll get to how my mind changed on that. So purslane is a glossy, succulent plant that grows very well pretty much anywhere. The stems are generally pink and the flowers are yellow. Purslane can thrive in almost any kind of soil. It's drought resilient. It spreads like wild, even in controlled settings like a window box. In Mexico, it's called verdolagas, where cooks chop it up and add it to braised pork dishes. It has a bright, sunny, lemony flavor, and its bite, now that I've bit it a few more times, actually reminds me of cucumber, if cucumbers tasted like arugula. So it's juicy and bites like cucumber, but it definitely has a peppery taste. But then there's the health benefits. It has a higher omega-3 than any other plant, and it's way less expensive than salmon. And high levels of melatonin, a hormone that's great for regulating sleep. So you ready to take the leap? First, you'll want to rinse it thoroughly. Then you'll pull the leaves off of the larger stems and toss them with lemon juice, olive oil, and a pinch of salt. Purslane's pretty damn good just like that, but if you want to take it one step further, throw in some radishes and toss with a little salad. Even better, if you've got kale, it gets along with purslane very well. Another option is to roughly chop a cup of leaves, place them in the blender with plenty of olive oil, some garlic, lemon juice, parmesan, and pretty much any nut of your choice. Pulse, and you've got purslane pesto. It can also stand up to a little heat, so sauteing it in a little olive oil or butter, it can be added to dishes like pizza or tacos, and it also works well added into soups and stews towards the end of cooking. I'll return in just a moment to talk about violets. Sometimes finding easy to understand information in a community of like-minded people can be tough. With Root to Seed, you can grow into the gardener and homesteader you wish to be, or just refresh your knowledge with something new. Our website, www.roottoseedonline.com, has great information for all levels and interests. We also have a highly informational blog spot that is fully interactive. We are easy to contact should you need any more help. Be sure to visit. I never really minded when spring's wild violets graced my yard. They are quite lovely, and I had been using their flowers in cocktails and teas as a fairly normal habit, so why not go further? More or less, what is commonly referred to as the wild violet is Viola odorata and the common blue violet. These are low-lying plants that tend to grow in lawns, specifically in shady spots with rich soil. In reality, all members of the Viola family, which includes violets, violas, and pansies, have edible leaves and edible flowers. Sweet and common blue violets have heart-shaped leaves that get to be about 2 inches across and have rounded teeth along their sides. The plants put out purple blooms in early spring and are amongst the first flowers seen in that season. Violet leaves are plentiful, and they're notably mild in flavor, so you're never going to get that bitterness that many other wild edibles get. It's highly nutritious, bringing both vitamins A and C to your plate. The leaves are best harvested when they still have a little bit of a curl to them. They can be used raw in salads, along with the flowers for some added color, or they can be steamed or sauteed to include in stir fries and similar dishes. The leaves are noteworthy for, I don't know, I would say a slightly okra or texture. It's more about the texture, or I found it similar to when you eat something that has soaked chia seeds in it. That's kind of what it feels like in your mouth. This trait makes them a good addition for thickening up soups and sauces, and the texture is good for helping to clean out our digestive system. The other thing violet flowers are used for, particularly sweet violet, is a dessert element. They can be candied, or they're often used to infuse homemade syrups. The leaves and the flowers can also be used as teas. So, I do hope that this has been helpful, and I want to help you to safely enjoy your weeds, so if you visit the blog page at www.roottoseedonline.com, you'll find photos as well as a recipe for each of the weeds that we talked about to help you navigate this. If there's a weed you find prevalent in your yard or garden, think. It might be showing itself to you for a reason. And if you aren't sure if it's edible, ask us and we'll give you an overview of the plant. Do purchase the jams soon as they sell out fast, but are great gifts for teachers or the holidays. And remember, we have a Q&A section now, so if you have a question, let us know and we'll mention you in the show. Until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.